In this world, we very often ask ourselves, in modern times we say, what is the bottom line? This is a modern expression. Supposing somebody asks you the question after listening to my lecture, so what is the bottom line? Now, bottom line is not seen physically. What you see is, what you hear physically is blah, 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 what is going on. So many words, so many sentences, so much plethora of things told. What is the bottom line? And yet you are able to say the bottom line. Where do you see this? By what means do you see this bottom line? In sophisticated language, it's called the essence. Bottom line is really the essence. What is the essence of the matter? Now, essence again is never seen physically. You look at the whole world, you have never seen essence. Physically, essence is not seen. And yet, what is most important is essence. All manifestations are manifestations of essence. If essence does not exist, the manifestation doesn't exist. What is most important is essence.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
You said about the species, say by example a horse, but isn't that also in the first place a physical conception of the species when you talk about differentiation in the species, but when you talk about essence, it's all right. How would you differentiate there?
You see the horse as a physical form, and that is true, that is the basis. But on that basis, what you are not seeing physically is horseness. You have seen the physical horse, but physically you have not seen the horseness. It is the horseness which makes a species distinct from any other species.
That's the knowledge beyond the sight.
That's right. By seeing the physical horse, somehow your mind is able to grasp what is not physically present. This is where the pure mind acts. Even though it may start with physical objects, it goes beyond the physical objects and understands physical objects better after going there. Even the physical objects are understood better after doing that. After listening to these lectures, so many sounds you hear, it is only when you reflect upon the essence of the matter that ultimately all that I have spoken becomes meaningful. Similar idea is the idea of all. The word all. It's a very curious word. In a sense, we may say all the persons sitting in this room has a specific meaning, namely 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus, including everyone, all put together is all. Very simple. All children happen to be naughty at a given stage of their development. All children happen to be naughty at a certain level of development. Now here I use the word all. Surely I have not seen every child in the world. In any case, I have not seen the children going to be born tomorrow. So they are not at present before me physically. So what is this, the image that I have when I use the word all? Sure, it is different from the kind of image of all that I have when I describe all the people seated in this room. There you can say this is the meaning of all. But what is the meaning of the word all when I say all children happen to be naughty in their development at a particular stage? Which is the word all means what? All crows are black. Whether I see it here or there or whether I am not seen, all crows are black. What does it mean? There is something like wherever the white color may be, it is always distributable in a spectrum of seven colors. Wherever white color may be, I have not seen all the whites. I have not seen everywhere. What is the meaning of everywhere? What is the meaning of all? What is the meaning of any universal? Universal is a term which we use in all our ordinary expressions. This object is black. Black is universal. That object is golden. Golden is universal. This object is particular, but the golden that is there is not confined only to this object. It is present in many objects, even which I have not seen. So although I may start a proposition from a physical observation, I am led by some curious method which is in us, which we call the mind, a particular sight which grasps the universal. If my physical mind does not grasp, my vital mind does not grasp, it is the pure mind which has this capacity. The universal, all, essence, identity, these are some of the examples which are grasped by the pure mind, which are seen by the pure mind. Not only that, but if you do not have these ideas, you can't even think. And this is very important. If you do not see these universal identity, even ordinary thinking is not possible. All our thinking requires these perceptions. There is a distinction between physical perception and thinking. Physical perception is seen by my physical eyes when there is a light, both in my eyes and on the object. All thinking implies the use of identity, essence, universality, all thinking. If you don't use this identity and universality, you will make an exercise. Try to eliminate these two elements and you will not be able to think. All thought processes involve these basic perceptions. The simple example that is given is, all men are mortal, Socrates is man, therefore Socrates is mortal. This is the normal logical example that is given in books of logic. unless mortality, which is a universal quality, is understood, unless humanity, all men, is understood, you cannot come to a conclusion which is true of one this particular object. All our thinking processes involve the perception of universality, essence, identity. And this perception is a direct perception of the pure mind. These perceptions are really called ideas. Usually we use the word ideas for anything, but really speaking, the word idea should be used only for these. You might say they are parent ideas. Just as when I open my eyes and I see objects, similarly, the moment I really begin to think, you don't need to manufacture these ideas, they are directly perceptible. If you examine the question of identity, you will not be able to show identity anywhere in the physical world. There is nothing in the world which is identical with the other. There will be some difference. And yet you understand what is identity. Exactly, point by point it must be identical. Now this idea of identity, which is directly perceived by your mind, is, you might say, the real object of the pure mind. Just as these physical objects are the objects of my physical sight, similarly, these ideas, there are not many of them, but these ideas are direct perceptions of the pure mind. There is something in the mind which is a sight, and the objects of this sight are the ideas of essence, identity, universality, at least these three, by the help of which all our thinking processes are managed, so that if they are absent, you can't think. Now, when you dwell upon this kind of thought process, the pure mind develops more and more.